Welcome to the Financial Flight Plan with Tim Estes and Bree Reyes. When it comes to your financial future, we believe the sky is the limit. We'll give you the proper tools to keep your engine portfolio running smoothly. Let us pilot the answers to some of your toughest financial issues. The Financial Flight Plan starts now.
It's time for another episode of the Financial Flight Plan podcast. I'm Ben George alongside Bree Reyes. Bree, I know you haven't been in the best health as of late, but update us on how you're doing.
Yeah, we at Estes Financial Services have been sharing bronchitis between ourselves.
Oh, that's awful.
Yes, it's been fun. I've had it. Well, Dad got it first, and then I accidentally drank some of his drink. It's funny how we blame each other for this type of thing, but I accidentally had a sip of his Dr. Pepper thinking it was mine, and then I came down with it. And then I shared it with Nate and Joaquin, my husband, and so they got it. And come to find out, Dad's now, his doctor's saying, well, it was bronchitis, but it was allergy related. So it's just now been a big thing, but we're all finally well. Occasionally there's still some coughing, but we're all finally better.
Good.
Well, and didn't share it with any clients. We just shared it amongst ourselves. Just a family thing.
You guys are always looking out for the best interests of your clients. You know that? In every aspect. Truly are. Listen, if you don't know Bree, you got to get to know her a little bit better. She's a lot of fun. We talk about a lot of different topics on this show. Today we're talking about Social Security, the five biggest misunderstandings when it involves Social Security. She's going to clear up some things for us. Of course, you can always find her dad, Tim Estes. You can find him as well over at Estes Financial Services when they're not out of the office sick, but they're back now, ready to go, ready to serve you around the Metroplex. Their office is there in Fort Worth. You can find them online, estesfinancial.net. Also on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, or if you're old school and want to call, you're welcome to do that as well at 817-444-8402. So let's dive into this main topic, Bree, and get into Social Security, because this is a big part of retirement for everyone. So we want to make sure we're clearing up some of the rumors, misunderstandings that are out there. So let's start with the one that is very prominent right now. The idea that Social Security is going broke. Clear that up for me. Is that happening? Is that true?
Well, possibly. Okay. And I hate to say that. Full benefits are payable to at least 2034, according to the annual report of the Board of Trustees for Social Security. So full benefits are payable to at least 2034. And then they're saying about 78% of benefits are payable after that date. So, you know, it's not going to shut off in 2034, but you're probably only going to receive about 78% of what you had been receiving previously. So legislation is likely to change going forward with the goal of extending the solvency, keeping Social Security solvent beyond these current assumptions. And there's a couple of different potential proposals that I think that we're going to see. The first one would be linking the cost of living increases to a different inflation index, possibly a lower inflation index, which if you look at it, the cost of living inflation that Social Security has been getting isn't keeping up with regular inflation anyway, so that doesn't help us. The second one would be increasing full retirement age beyond 67. And this I expect to impact workers that are 45 and younger. I expect those of us that are under 45 to have our full retirement age be well beyond 67.
Okay.
The third is increasing or eliminating the wage cap for payroll taxes. Right now, the cap in 2019 is set on earned income up to $132,900. So I could see them doing away with that cap. And then the fourth item would be, well, increase our taxes, which I know nobody likes to hear, but right now, payroll taxes are currently set at 12.4%, and that amount isn't all paid by the employee. It's split between the employee and the employers. So I could see them increasing that 12.4% and then either splitting it or maybe putting more of the responsibility on the employee potentially.
That makes sense. But so I don't have to be concerned personally, right, about it going broke before I get to claim. I mean, we're fairly confident that it'll be around, just it'll change and make adjustments as we go forward?
Potentially, yes.
Okay, fair enough. I'll take potentially. All right, second misunderstanding. is when to start your Social Security. So the first thought is starting your Social Security as early as possible is going to be the best outcome for you.
Yes, that is what a lot of people believe. That is not necessarily the best strategy. So you have to understand what a break, where the break-even point is. And it's about 12 years, roughly, from the start of Social Security benefits. And what I mean by break-even point, it's where accumulating higher benefits over a shorter period of time outweighs collecting a smaller benefit. Because if you start at 62, you're going to collect a smaller benefit for the rest of your life. You're also, if you start at 62, going to leave potentially a smaller benefit for your surviving spouse. So there's some real issues with collecting early that could potentially hurt you or hurt your surviving spouse for the rest of their lives. And for married couples that are age 65, there's a 50% chance one of the spouses, if you're married at 65, one of you, either you or your spouse, are going to live to 93. And if you think about that, taking Social Security at 62 and living to 93, you are penalizing yourself for the rest of your life with a smaller amount. It's something you've got to look at and weigh. You've got to look at your health history, your family health history. This is the choice my grandfather made. He chose to take it early at 62, and he lived till 92. And he did not receive as much in Social Security as he would have if he had waited to his full retirement age or waited till age 70.
Well, that it seems like the next misunderstanding seems like it'd be the right answer then. You want to wait as long as possible. I mean, that's what the other side of this coin is. You can maximize that monthly payment, get the biggest number possible, but that's not always the best option, right?
It is not always the best option. Delaying Social Security benefits, if you need the money, it's a terrible idea. If you need the money to live on, you need the money to live on. If you have no other income stream, no other pension, then delaying is not always the best choice. If you have a health history, if you're sick, where you don't think you're going to make it, you might as well start receiving some Social Security while you're alive. So there's a couple of different things you've got to weigh and you've got to look at. The issue with Social Security is it's like saying a bad word in front of my mom, Julie. I've talked about mom on the podcast before and she listens. So mom, I love you. But here's the deal. If I say a bad word in front of Julie, she's like an elephant. She does not forget it. And if I was young enough, she would probably wash my mouth out. So now I'm taller than her and it's a little bit harder. But point being, I still get the lecture. She doesn't forget. That's the same thing with Social Security. You cannot start Social Security and go, oops, I realized I'm going to live a long time. I made a mistake. You know, 5 years in, I want to pay you back all the money and decide I'm going to wait until 70. No. It doesn't really work that way. So I'd rather you delay until you know you need it than start it early and maybe run out of money.
Yeah. Or you want to go back to work, maybe potentially too. There's a lot of different factors that could be there. So that's good advice. Wait until you know you need it and then discuss. But either way, you know, you can always lean on an advisor to have that conversation early and start trying to plan for it. What do you think's best? What makes the most sense for you based on all those different factors? There's a lot that goes into it. But I know once your time, you're ready and the time has come to claim and you think you're ready to go, you know, a lot of people kind of have the understanding or the belief that just head on down to the Social Security Administration office and they'll help you choose that best claiming strategy for yourself once it's time.
The Social Security office will give you information, period. They cannot help you choose the best claiming strategy for you. That is not within their purview. They do not want that risk. They do not want to be liable in case they are wrong. And 9 times out of 10, you can go down there twice and get different answers. We've had clients do that who've called and talked to somebody and they heard something and then we talked to them and then they call back and they're like, oh, wait a second. No, that's not right. It's this other thing. God bless the Social Security Administration. Bless their hearts. Different agents can be on different pages and they are told specifically not to advise you to do anything. And the best time, I want to talk about this for a second. The best time to start planning for your Social Security filing decision is actually about 56 to 62.
Okay.
That's really the best time to start planning. And then you talked about it a little earlier, but I want to use a percentage amount here. Working with a financial advisor, they've done a study, the Social Security Consumer study conducted by the Harris Poll. They did a study and they looked at it and they found that people who'd worked with a financial advisor to decide their Social Security benefits received 20% more in Social Security benefits than those who just went to Social Security and decided to claim on their own.
Well, that seems pretty obvious to me, right?
Yeah, 20% more over a lifetime? Significant. That's awesome. Yeah,
that's a big deal.
That's awesome.
And that's why you can't look. You can't. The Social Security Administration is there to help you sign up. But like you said, they're not licensed to give you advice, and that's not their job to give you advice. They're going to help you get the paperwork and file as you need to claim your benefits. But in order to figure out how to maximize and how to get that extra 20%, you got to work with someone that can factor in all these things for you and work with you on a strategy. And that's what Bree and her team does. So keep that in mind when you're ready. When you're ready to file, don't just head down there and expect to have everything taken care of for you. The final thing, and I know it's an area you love, and that's taxes. A lot of people just assume, you know, once Social Security rolls around, that money's coming in and I don't have to give any money back to the government, but we know better, right?
Right. That used to be true. Social Security used to be tax-free income. It is no longer tax-free income. Social Security can be taxed up to 85%. So up to 85% of the Social Security that you receive can be taxed. That's one of the benefits potentially of delaying benefits can help lower your taxes. And that's one of the strategies we look at. Also, if you happen to work in retirement, say you work before your full retirement age, that can also cause your benefits to be reduced. Or if you are a government employee, sometimes you can the windfall elimination privilege can apply to your benefits. So these are all things that the Social Security office is not going to take into account for you. They are not going to look at your taxes and see if delaying benefits can lower your taxes. And they're also not going to tell you exactly based off your income how much of your Social Security is going to be taxed. They are there to provide the forms and to give you the amounts at the different ages. And that's really what they're there for.
That makes sense. Look, the biggest thing with taxes, you got to prepare for them. Everybody's situation is different. States are different. So, you know, your income, what that's going to be, all factors in. And, you know, you want to work with SS Financial Services. But as a listener of this podcast, you also offer a service too, free of charge, your Ticking Tax Time Bomb guide.
We do. We offer our Ticking Tax Time Bomb toolkit. And I'm also going to offer right now a review of your Social Security. It's what we call a Social Security 360 analyzer report.
Okay.
That'll help you make an informed Social Security decision. Won't go into everything for you, but it'll just kind of go into Social Security. So if you're interested in the Ticking Tax Time Bomb toolkit, and we've talked about that on previous podcasts, or the Social Security 360 analyzer report, feel free to reach out to our office and let us know. Give us a call, 817-444-8402. Or I believe we always put a link in the show, the description of the podcast. But let us know which one you'd like to get, and we'll get you set up for a meeting. With the Ticking Tax Time Bomb, you get our copy of our book that we wrote with our good friend Dan. It's the Financial Flight Plan book, 7 Lessons to Save Your Retirement, a CD which talks about the tax time bomb in retirement, and 2 reports, These 5 Risks Could Destroy Your Retirement, and a special tax report, because taxes in retirement, of course, are a huge thing we focus around here, and an investor awareness guide. So that Ticking Tax Time Bomb toolkit, it values at $97. And we offer that to our listeners of the podcast free of charge for reaching out.
Yeah, so you can call 817-444-8402, but also you can go to their website, estesfinancial.net, contact them that way, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, however you want to reach out to the podcast, you can do it that way. Just let them know. Let Bree know, hey, I heard you talking about your Ticking Tax Time Bomb toolkit, so send it over, and Bree would be happy to do that. It'll be a big help to you as you begin to kind of think about taxes and try to plan for them. There's a lot that goes into it, and this toolkit will really help you out with that. So let's wrap up our Social Security conversation and let's get to know a little bit more about Bree.
It's getting to know you time.
All right, Bree, it's time to get to know you a little bit better. We do so on most podcasts as we try to get away from finances a little bit and learn more about your personal life. And I know you're a very adventurous person and You got a lot going on away from the office, as we found out with the bronchitis. But on a better note, I want to find out what you do to relax after a long week, after a hard day at work, after a lot of hours. What do you do with the family to just unwind and relax?
Ooh, with the family, we play Legos. my husband is an architect, and my son likes to build things and destroy them. He's very, very good at that. Well, he's two. Nate's two, so let's be honest. And so all together, we do a lot of Legos in our house and a lot of blocks and a lot of stacking things. And we go to the park. We've got a beautiful park, actually, that I can see right out of my office window, Dream Park here in Fort Worth, which is one of Nate's favorite places to be and to go. But my ideal way to relax when I'm by myself and Nader Tot is asleep is I embroider. I sew and do embroidery, and specifically Christmas stockings and Christmas kits. And so I am working on a gift right now. I'm not going to say whom because they are a podcast listener. But I'm also this year, I think for 2020 is going to be the first time I'm actually going to enter it potentially in the state fair. So that is what I do in my spare time.
I never would have guessed that, but that's awesome. That's pretty cool. I guess you made Nate a stocking. Did you have it ready to go as soon as he was born?
I did not make Nate a stocking.
You did?
That's
actually
how I got into this hobby. In my family, my aunt made stockings for my sister and I and my siblings, my step aunt. And so when Sean was born, when my nephew was born, he's 12, I did Sean's. So 12 years ago, I started. And now that I look back at it, it's terrible. Like, it's bad. I didn't know what I was doing. And so I have not made Nader Tots. My sister is working on it and he is 2.5 and she's still working on it. God bless her. I love her. This is not her hobby. She really should just turn it over to me. But I have found that sitting down and sewing at the end of the day with a TV show on or a radio show or listening to a podcast or something or a book on tape is the best way for me to relax. So I've sewn Dad's stocking. I've sewn Amanda's stocking. I've sewn Sean's. I've sewn my brother-in-law Anthony's. I did one for my other nephew, my nephew-in-law, Luke. I made one for him last year. And so that's how I relax.
Well,
and I love
cool.
it. And we have some clients that have put their work into the state fair before and submitted it. And so they've kind of, I don't know, I'm going to try it. We'll see.
So what do you submit? Just like a bunch of stockings or you just pick one or one?
I'm going to pick one and it has to be completed within the last. I'm going into the Christmas category. Well, Keen calls our house Santa's workshop because I'm almost all year round have a Christmas thing I'm working on. But I'm going to enter in the Christmas category.
Very cool. Well, best of luck to you. We hope you bring back first prize. That'd be great.
Oh, I just would like some type of just...
Just any kind of recognition would work?
Just any kind of recognition would kind of be nice because my family's so used to it. They roll their eyes. So, you know, a little recognition wouldn't kill me.
Well, very cool. So that's how Bree unwinds. Always fun to get to know Bree a little bit more. I'm telling you, always as soon as I expect to hear a certain type of thing from you, you throw a curveball completely and go a totally different direction.
I'm an enigma wrapped in a riddle.
You are. Indeed. It's well said. All right. Let's wrap it up with a mailbag question.
It's time for the mailbag. We want to hear from you.
So this comes in from Rebecca. And if you have any questions, you can submit them online. SSFinancial.net. As we mentioned on social media, just send them over. And we will feature your question, hopefully, on this show. We try to pull out our favorite questions and bring them on here and answer them to give as many people the wisdom of Bree as possible. So Rebecca wrote in and asked this. She said, next year, my daughter is moving back to the U.S. after 10 years in Africa. I'm thinking about moving to wherever they end up living here in the state. So what do I need to consider before I pick up and move at the age of 67?
Wow, Rebecca, congratulations on your daughter coming home. And Africa, that's fabulous. The first thing I would look at before I pick up and move anywhere is cost of living. The cost of living here in DFW, Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas, is very different than, say, the cost of living in San Francisco or LA or New York. So that is going to change how much you may need to live on. So that would be my first thing I'd take a look at. Cost of living, housing costs, all that type of thing. The next thing would be taxes. you know, do you have state income tax? How does the state handle taxation? Would be another thing I would take a look at. Third thing would be something that a lot of people don't often think about, but it's, are you going to lose any benefits from retirement benefits that you may have that are attached to the state? I have heard cases of, in fact, we have a client that lost benefits because they moved from one state to the other and they had been a teacher in that state and there was a provision and it seems silly. It seems like it should have just transferred, but it didn't. So it's something to think about.
Okay, fair enough. I would have thought of a couple of those different things. So that's a good question. And I would have thought it would just be easy as picking a place to live, but I guess there's a lot more that goes into it. So great question, Rebecca. And again, as Bree said, congratulations on your daughter moving back to the U.S. from Africa. That's pretty cool. So if you have any questions, send them in, estesfinancial.net. If you ever have a question for Bree and her team at Estes Financial, you can always call at 817-444-8402. Their office is over there in Fort Worth, and they serve the entire Metroplex, and they're always here to help you. So Bree, appreciate your time. I hope you feel better. I'm glad the bronchitis has hopefully moved out of the office and out of your home, and now you can just focus your attention on the holidays.
That is our plan. And all of you listeners, go out and lead an abundant life.